Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Deep Thoughts Radio. I've noticed on this soundtrack there's a little bit of a reverb because I am in a fairly large room. Upstairs there's a carpet. We don't go upstairs anymore. Let me ask you a question. If you're going to get rid of 99% of the world, would you leave everything here before you get rid of those people? You know? Or would you sort of like, in an analogy, let's say you owned a big apartment complex and you're going to get rid of 99% of them. Well, do you wait for them to go to work and then you tell them they can't come home? So all their stuff's still in their apartments? Or if you want it to be all clean, because that's your goal, because you're a psychopathic weirdo, wouldn't you just sort of one by one create a situation where each one of them would leave on their own volition? And in our particular case, they just want to kill us all, right? They just want to burn everything down. Fires become a huge weapon. Create earthquakes all over the place. Create hurricanes all over the place. Eventually, I think that you're going to get something sort of like a combination meal of hurricane, earthquake, tsunami sort of thing. Again, I have an episode I did a long time ago called Weapons of Natural Destruction. Take a look. But burning things down is amazing because they're just gone. And the things that were there that were taking up the earth are also gone. The homes, the streets, power lines, it's all gone. Erasing earth. There is a huge group of people, heavily financed, well-organized, who obviously have never had a reason to believe in anything other than the secular world that is ashes to ashes and dust to dust. And they're on board. They make Faust look like Walt Disney in terms of signing the deal with the devil. What's really fascinating is most of this sort of the thought process we would think of, like, how would you tell someone to commit such a high-level crime like Maui, Paradise, et cetera, the earthquakes all around the world, the Turkey earthquake, the Morocco earthquake. You have to tell some people that this is for the greater good, or you have to find psychopaths. Have you ever had anyone in your youth, when you were, say, between 0 and maybe 8, there was a little asshole kid. My cousin was this little asshole. He's an asshole for a different reason these days, but he couldn't handle that someone else had something that he didn't have when he went home. When his father was a doctor, was fairly wealthy, he did have tremendous things when he went home, but no one could have anything that he didn't have. And if he acquired something, that is typically something that more than one person uses, like a ball or something, he would find a way to play with the ball by himself and not allow anyone else to play with the ball. That is a super defective soul-mind connection. Something is severely wrong. I'm not sure what causes that. But that's the way the elite of the world look at our occupation of what they believe to be their land. Haven't you ever seen rich kids? This has been my entire life, right? I was always fairly broke as a child until I started making my own money. Took a long time to get there, though. But I could do so much with so little. And the neighbors, like my cousin, he'd have like computers, right? Guy couldn't write a program that would print his name out in BASIC. I mean, this guy never could figure that out. But his parents bought him $2,000 or $3,000 computer in the, 1983 or whatever. The only time I got to use it was that he took computer class and couldn't figure out how to do it. And so he said, I need you to do my term project so that I pass school. And I was like, well, I don't really give a shit about your grade, but I would love to use your new Apple IIc. But you'll see that your whole life. You know, there's a show on TV that's just abysmal. But it's called American Greed. And I gotta watch it because I'm stuck in a different lounge where all these old guys worship it. But I mean, it is almost a joke. Like, this is a Matrix. This is a Westworld. And the biggest pricks in the world find money and then they blow it. People stealing, you know, tens of millions of dollars off of old women or retired actors or retired celebrities or just people in general. And they have in their bank account tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions of dollars that they, you know, they, excuse me, scammed off of somebody in some Ponzi scheme, right? And they can't think of anything interesting to do with the money. One guy built a big boat. He scammed $2 million off this guy. He used to be a DJ in San Francisco. He builds a boat in Newport Coast. The boat already existed. He just put $1.7 million on the boat, never bothered to even hook up the radio. It was not worthy to be on the sea. When the guy gets caught, he kills the guy on the backside of Catalina and just drives home like no one's going to know. The elite of the world couldn't figure out how to enjoy a moment of their life if their life depended on it. If God came down, if Christ came down, right? He's just ripped. And he's like, sits down with them and he goes, okay, show me that you can appreciate one thing in this world that isn't a sin, that isn't serving Baphomet or Baal. Show me. And they won't be able to do it. Not even just drinking a pure glass of clean water. They couldn't figure out how to enjoy anything. And so because they're a bunch of ranting, raving, inbred fucking children who have had countless generations, right? Breeding and breeding and breeding this horrible, defective, scummy gene pool who tries to make all of their mental illnesses, look like achievements. They want to demonize anyone who's completely normal, right? God-fearing, normal person. You adhere to your biology. You act like your biology. Boom. We're the evil ones. And they need to take this 0.001 of 001% of people, shove it down our throats until we fight back. But right now, they want to get the world back. You got Bill Gates buying up all this land, China buying up all this land, and no one is saying anything. And what's crazy about it is there has to be some sort of buyout first, then the acquiring of the land. And the reason why I say that is, if you think about it, you can't just go and buy up everyone else's land, right? It takes them agreeing to it. And once they start seeing one person come in and buy the whole state of Nebraska or something, they'll stop the sale. Once they see a Chinese communist fucking country come in and buy gigantic acreages of America, Americans should be saying, whoa, this is not going to get approved. They're not even fucking American. They're buying our land because we're so fucking stupid. We allow foreign citizens to buy American land. Unbelievable, dude. Stupidest fucking thing. The smartest thing China's ever done is say, hey, you can have 49% of the ownership of a piece of land, but you can't have the other 51. You have to marry somebody. They can have the 51, but they have to be local Chinese citizens. And hey, hope you don't get divorced. Because guess what? You won't be able to own the other 49% anymore. Foreign ownership of your country's land should not be allowed. That person or that institution has to be founded by people who have either gained citizenship into your country or were born there. Can you imagine we just said you can't have land unless you're born here? Just like being a president of the United States. Only exception being if your parents are military like mine and you're born on American controlled land, it's considered a-okay. Your parents are serving the country, so you're all right. We got a company called BlackRock that's running around pretending to be a private for-profit company, which they technically are, but who do you think they're buying the land for? right? Isn't it funny how these companies, they just kind of sort of come out of nowhere? One's a mercenary company in the Middle East, is killing the crap out of people, getting America in total trouble, causing the, you know, centuries of angst between their people and our people, and their scumbags, retired military that doesn't give a fuck about destroying the world. And they're just driving down the street, mowing people down inside of a city because they have complete diplomatic immunity until that one day they got hung up on a bridge and burned to death. And of course, we're all sitting there going, oh my God, I can't believe that happened. It's like, no. That's what happens when you kill thousands of people indiscriminately on behalf of Halliburton, on behalf of the Pope as a mercenary during the Inquisitions. They're burning our world down, people. They're burning it down. They're using every weapon in the book. I just saw a new video that finally I think I could see the pattern of what was occurring. Imagine you've got, obviously, a directed energy weapon that can be pointed anywhere, and anything made out of the frequency, as long as it's not blue, will agitate, catch on fire, melt, and it's very, very quick. Very, very quick. You could do it from a plane. You could do it from a satellite. You can get it done. But we know that PG&E is a part of this scam as well, because, again, they don't worry about anything. Everyone's about to die if something doesn't fucking happen. Everyone's about to die. You understand? Those fucking words are not to make you click more and watch more, or to make me something I'm not. That's the goddamn truth. They're about to fucking exterminate this place. So they don't give a fuck, man. They can say anything they want. PG&E can just lock up everyone's power meter on the side of the house, boils off the house, house burns down, your kids are dead, whatever. Oh, you want to take them to court because you were at work? They're like, yeah, sure. About 6 months, you won't fucking exist. You know, and they think that they're on the list to continue existing as well, which is the sort of funny thing, right? Now, but this video shows a power grid downtown. They said it was Turkey. And then someone said it was Morocco. Doesn't even matter. I think this video had been used in the past, and someone overlaid some laser from space. It was nice to see it without some stupid special effect. And Matt from Matt Sensibility saying his friend took the shot, right? The more I think about that, the more it pisses me off, even though he's got good content. Now, what you do see is a plasma cloud that's essentially boiling off of the big transformer pigs that are up there, which have a lot of oil in them, so they're going to boil off. But this is a giant cloud of plasma, right? It's ether moving at its slowest pace, which is basically balled up lightning inside of an ethereal kind of tornado. But it's crawling down the line and it hits another pig, which gives it more fuel, and it starts to create another little tornado down there. And what's interesting is it goes back the other way, which should already be fried. And it starts jumping lines kind of behind a little ridge. But this plasma coming off these lines, it's so huge and it's very fluent, like flames coming off of a log. Remember, it's all the same physics, right? Just because plasma moves considerably faster than fire, you can still see it, and it still has to interact with the fluid dynamics of the atmosphere. And you saw it like someone was moving some sort of targeting system back and forth. It wasn't like the whole thing lit up. And of course, this will happen naturally in wires. I've seen tons of videos. I've seen a couple times in real life where a transformer blew and it went off to another one. What I've never seen it do is once it blows, going back the other way. Because usually the lines are pretty fried at that point. Whatever valence that was conductive is completely ripped off the line. That's how it actually did what it did. But perhaps there's just something I don't know about that. That's fine. But like I said, they have technology we've never seen. And whatever methodology will get their job done is going to be used, from overloading power supplies, lighting arson fires, using directed energy weapons, manipulating a hurricane close enough that the winds are there. I mean, what if they could actually make wind happen without a hurricane? It's just they don't, on average, because it would be unexplainable. And so they cook up a little storm and move it into place, and then they can hit it with something else. I don't exactly know, other than infrasonic undulation, which Judy Wood talked about. But Judy Wood talked about, Dr. Judy Wood talked about in her September 11th directed energy weapon 3.5-hour presentation, was that she went the full gamut of things. And if you watch her episodes on chemtrails and Morgellons disease, she had talked about something called infrasonic undulation, if I have that right. And what she was saying was that even though in the 80s, when you would look up at the clouds and you'd see these crazy textured, almost like cotton quilted patterns in the sky, that even though you were told that that's a natural state of the sky and clouds, especially high atmospheric clouds, that those were actually generated potentially by devices. And when they start to create the patterns that you see when you put sand on top of a black surface and play frequencies underneath it, and you start seeing it separate into different textures, she's saying, look, this is what they're doing from the clouds down. But what's interesting about their methodology is how brilliant it is and how simple it is. They're burning down the world. They're erasing the world once again. Everything's going to grow back in terms of vegetation. So if they mow down paradise and no one went in to clean anything up, which again, that's the beauty of what they're doing. They're burning it down. Everyone's terrified of saying the truth, which is like, hey, the dude who made pottery out in front of his house in Paradise, California, with kelms that are accustomed to holding 4,500 degrees Fahrenheit objects inside, those kelms burn to the ground almost instantaneously. Well, that's impossible, right? Especially a forest fire. Forest fire is never going to burn a kelm down. It can't. Plus, these kelms are in areas where there's no fuel. So the only thing that could possibly touch the kelm would be the licking fire from sort of a fast-moving wind. And then that's going to run out of fuel really fast because the ground's going to burn up. If the trees don't light on fire, which almost none of them did, right? A little bit of scorching on the outside. Then you don't have enough constant fuel to burn something that is designed to burn stuff inside of it at super high degrees. But no one's willing to come back and say anything. Oh, I don't want to be a conspiracy. I don't want to lose approval from people who don't give a fuck whether I live or die. That's one of the biggest fucking problems with the world. So you're an influencer on Instagram. What? You're a dumb bitch who walks in front of the camera. That's 99% of all influencers. A dumb bitch walking in front of a camera. That's it. And I say dumb because you think that that makes you important. Oh, I dressed in a, and you know, I show my titties. And I just walk in front of a camera. We walked in front of the camera today. You know, I walked in front of the camera 3 times yesterday. I'm an influencer. And yeah, you'll get tens of thousands of fucking subscriptions or subs or whatever the fuck you want to call them. But you're nobody. You realize that? You've achieved nothing besides walking in front of a camera. The idea that your ego is so fucked up that turns you on. Oh, I put my face on there, you know, and I show my titties or my guts or whatever, my ass, and you got random fucking people to subscribe. You're not an influencer, man. There's a word for it. So a bunch of people know the truth. A bunch of people lost their homes all over Malibu, all over Paradise. Maui has been the most vocal of any group of people who lost everything. Unfortunately, most of the people got murdered by the actual weapons themselves. And I know there's a rumor that a bunch of the kids got picked up. I don't think they would try that operation at the same exact time that they're trying to burn the whole place down. I think that's part of how the elite work. It's like an old Bambino movie. I'll kill you, your wife, and your kid. And he said, hey, you sell us your land. And they said, no, we have lived here for a long time. We understand the culture. We're good to the island. And we're not even going to inflate the price of our homes. There's still 1.2 million on Maui. 1.2 million in Lahaina. The idea that that's almost like going down to Newport Coast, where your average home is 2.5 million for I don't know, maybe 2,500 square feet. The ones on the coast are $8.5 million. And so Lahaina is like, for the most part, except for maybe coastal mansions, still $1.2 million. You're walking, you're a couple country blocks from the most incredible beach. So their punishment for being good people was to die. Now, everyone around that place is pissed off and talking. But look how it's kind of died down. And it's just one place. If you see the video of the earthquake in Turkey, I believe earlier this year, it is the most terrifying, devastating, up and down movement of an entire hillside I've ever seen in my life. And you can find it on our Telegram channel, Deep Thoughts channel. However, you will have to go way back up there. But the video is a surveillance camera on a separate vista filming where the earthquake happened in Turkey. When you understand that if you can see any movement at all 3 or 4 miles away, the amount of movement that it takes for you to see that in a camera that's 2 or 3 miles away could have even been further. But when you see this thing move up and down, it looks like hundreds of feet up, hundreds of feet down, at least 10 stories up and down, just shaking this thing. Yes, Turkey has earthquakes, but Turkey's also a pivotal point for NATO to get in and fight the bear. And Turkey doesn't want to be involved because they know all it brings is death and destruction to their own people for whoring out their backyard for the United States of America. Plus, I don't think they disagree with what's going on in the Ukraine. So their punishment was a threat of an earthquake, and then it happens. Every technique that can be used to explain destruction is being used right now. Oh, there was a train derailment. Oh, sorry about that drinking water and your kid with two arms growing out of their forehead. Maybe you should have said something when you had a chance instead of worrying about an influencer thinking you're not cool or your neighbor saying something bad about you. Man, if there is a time to be unpopular, it is right now. It is totally right now. The idea is if you're in an area of the world that hasn't suffered from one of these ailments, a hurricane, a tornado, an earthquake, a tsunami, or a horrible fire, but you could see that your area of the world could easily suffer from that particular problem, and the press around the world could easily say that that was a normal event, saying that Maui could just burn down because there was heavy winds. Yes, there were super heavy winds eventually. Supposedly not heavy winds during the time that the fire started. 4 random fires that started at the exact same time. Oh, Nova Scotia, anybody? Right? With like what? 24 fires that started at the same time, all in different places, right? Maui has rain every day. Every day. Okay. It's a moist joint. Yeah, they earmark a few places to say that these places are really dry. Well, maybe it is. Maybe that's an indigenous thing. I'm not from Maui. I don't know. But what stops the premeditation of that story? Well, we don't normally have anything that's dry in Maui. But they said on the news that way over there where we don't go, it's dry. Not in Lahaina, but way over there. And somehow, way over there, got to Lahaina. Don't know whether or not that's a normal indigenous thing that's going on there. I just don't know. But whether or not you live in an area, and I think, you know, Southern California has got lots of excuses for stuff to catch on fire. I'm sure a cow's going to kick over a fucking lantern, and conservative neighborhoods are going to vaporize. And the amount of people that are going to die are going to be amazing. So much more than Lahaina, but exactly the same horrific shit. You know, Paradise, I can't remember how many perished in that, but my gosh, Lahaina, tiny little scratch of land, and you have potentially 2,000 people gone. At least 1,500 or so. So utterly vaporized that counting them is going to be difficult. It's not going to be any DNA checks on burnt ash, okay? You know, I passed on in one of my chaos reports that, you know, they didn't sound the alarms, the sirens. And then after I did the episode, I felt bad initially because I saw a guy address that issue at a press conference and he said, you know, these are meant for tsunami warnings. So if I had turned on the sirens and everyone ran up into the hills, then potentially a bunch of people would have died. Now, once I started looking at the burn footage, now it could be that you're closer to the beach. And so he might have a point. Say you're about two or three blocks. You're within the first three blocks back from the beach. You should be running to the beach and jumping in the ocean. But who the hell knows to do that at all? No one's ever seen these tidal wave fires being orchestrated by mechanical equipment. You know, for the fires that happened during the Malibu fires, I have friends of mine that were actually in their home. They got up. Came down, one guy got up, came down, got his coffee, sat down at his table to type in his laptop, looked behind out his back window, which is several hundred feet back to the end of his property, and he could see the fire. So he freaks out. He grabs a few things and runs out the front door. And then he said, well, you know, I realized I didn't take my laptop with me, and the fire is far enough back that it's not going to be on top of my house. He runs back in his house another 20 feet and grabs his laptop. He said by the time that he got to his laptop, his backyard, which had nothing that was flammable, all concrete walls, all concrete around a pool, had flames already at the house, kissing the back windows. Then he grabs his laptop and he runs out the front door, barely escaping the fire. That is evidence of a mechanical device that is projecting fire somehow. Moving it. But some of the people in Lahaina might, because the hills aren't burned. Yes, there's a margin, but where it is burned, you know, burns back to a certain margin. But some of the people up there, depending on where the hell this fire came from and where it started from, which I don't personally know exactly how it, you know, pincered in, how the weapons were used. So the sirens may not have been a end-all, beat-all solution. You might have had people too close to the coast worried about a tsunami all of a sudden run inland right into the fire. And the people that actually saved their lives running into the ocean may have done so because there weren't sirens running. So it's a hard situation. It's definitely hard to figure out on the ground who's guilty and who isn't. The dude from Vegas, totally guilty. I think you could say that there's at least two celebrities that tried to raise money for Maui, and after a week, they only got like $4,700, and they're mega famous people. And then we looked up the organization because one of them said, hey, she used to have her own talk show. She said, you're going to give it to my organization, and all the money's going to directly to the people. And then we look up her organization, and the CEO makes $755,000, which, having worked very closely with Warren Buffett's kid, I heard it was only $365,000, which is what a foundation can pay its CEO, not $755,000. So somehow this guy's making $755,000, guy or girl, I don't know what it is. And then the overhead costs are just like Christian Children's Fund. You realize Christian Children's Fund takes 97 cents out of every dollar, and only 3 cents goes to the people. You're better off just putting in an ad to a church or something and say, can you name somebody in the United States or your country, anybody who needs a little extra money on a monthly basis, qualify them to me that they're actually using the money properly, and then just cut them direct checks. Or today, transfer the money. But they're erasing the world at a perfect pace, aren't they? Because no one can connect the dots in the normal world. And so they just burn something down. A food processing plant. 1,200 so far. 1,200 fucking, I've said this before in different shows. 1,200 food processing plants have been completely fucking erased off the face of the planet. Does anybody ever talk about that? Yeah, we have 350 million people in the United States. There's probably thousands more available. But why? Because they're not going to need them. We're not going to be here to need them. Remember the FEMA coffin liners? I even saw a documentary at one point, because I've been kind of on the fence about these things. And there was one documentary where a company came in and claimed them, and they're in that business. That probably was a shill organization, or they sold them 10 of them and then they got this video claiming that they were doing like millions of these goddamn things. No, I think those things are real. Now I think that this is, it just, they brilliantly built them, built up their stockpiles for 25 years. You're going to have to bury hundreds of millions of people if you don't want the place stinking up real bad. Maybe build robots to pick up the bodies and stick them in the containers. The fires are really just starting to get started. You know, they have pulled off some big ones, haven't they? And they're pulling them off in countries that don't have a lot of defense mechanisms in some cases. Third world countries that once the place gets knocked down, I mean, think about it. You know, how would you protest your cell phone? But what if all the cell phone towers are down? What if every means that you have at your disposal to pay your cell phone bill disappear? You can't post anything at all. You know, it's never been a better time. If you think you have important things on your computer to get a service like Backblaze.com, that's what I use. I'm not plugging them, but there's an affiliate link on the website. I'm just sharing this because I have some solace that my entire world is in a different city. And it's all archived in there. If my fucking world burns down, I could just get my little tail out of there safely. It doesn't matter if I lose everything and I'm just buck naked and I get a towel off a friend to survive to the next day. I will rebuild and my entire world is paid off years in advance, okay? So they can't just turn it off unless they were to go out of business or burn down themselves. But they have backups as well. But get your world backed up if it's important to you. And remember, we don't print our photographs. Not that there's anyone around to care if everyone gets wiped out. But what if we have to take some hits, but we still win? That dude in Australia, and I forget his name, but he was a former dude in their political circle. And he came out during the 17 movement, and he has been convinced that this stuff is real, that the secret army exists. Pretends like he's a part of it. And again, beware of folks that mean well, that aren't shills, but they're being surrounded by people that tell them, well, you know what, I'm a secret agent and, you know, you're a good guy and we're just here to make sure that you back off any movements that you would do. We got it totally under control and you're more than welcome to go out and tell the people that a secret army is going to save them because that pacifies them to do nothing, right? 45 has a new thing that he's calling Agenda 47, which is awesome, right? We have Agenda 2030, which is the awful fucking world of, you know, 500 million people, probably more like 100 million people, 99% of the world gone. Previously called Agenda 21 because it was after the 21st century. Rosa Corey, God bless her heart. Rosa Koire. Go look her up. You owe it to the world to know everything that she said. If you're ever like, well, you know, I don't know if this Agenda 2030 thing is just a weird conspiracy of somebody else's. Well, the UN talks about it all the time now. The EU talks about it all the time now. Just right out in front of your face. But Rosa Corey, attorney by profession, discovered this in the late, well, the first decade of this century. And she quit her job doing eminent domain evaluations for the state of California and just basically investigated this entire thing. And again, an attorney wants proof. Attorney's not there to blow smoke up anyone's ass. You can't do that in a court of law. That's speculation. She knew by going to their websites and dragging down every PDF. She wrote one of the first books on this. I was working with her technically when she died. May of 2021. I think they murdered her. They could not possibly have a beautiful libertarian lesbian Sonoma soul saying that this was all a conspiracy. Me? They don't give a shit about it. They think, oh, well, this guy smokes cigars. Well, that'll just automatically knock out a bunch. He's a masculine male, so that's already going to knock out all these other people. But she was the crossover soul. She could get anyone to pay attention. And once you look at her presentations, oh my God, they're so organized perfectly. There's no sensationalism in any of her presentations. You owe it to yourself to go watch every video in there. They start about 2011. And you're going to have to go to Rumble. You're going to have to go to YouTube. But that'll get you educated about sort of how they're shaping the planet. Now, whether or not they want to nitpick us to death, they know that patterns will become recognizable eventually. Derailments are already recognized. Fires that burn everything but blue things. There's the thing about blue. Yeah, there's a parked car and a bunch of burned cars in Maui. All the other cars are just burned down to rust piles. Blue car, untouched. The interior of the car is fine. It's parallel parks into the other cars. It's not like someone parked a car and turned around, took a picture, and accidentally got their own car in the shot. No, that car was there. Minimal damage. Umbrellas that are blue, not burned. I mean, it's almost funny. If you were wealthy enough and you think you're in an area that could get zapped, blue tiles and blue roofing is actually a thing. I went and looked up all these homes in Maui and looked at all these rooftops. It's very small percentage, but probably 2-5% of the roofs in Maui have blue roofs. It's all over the place. I mean, you'd have like a house with 4 or 5 different buildings, and one of the buildings, the pool house, is blue. So they're not in on a conspiracy. Otherwise, they would have turned all their other roofs blue, right? Oprah's house does not have a blue roof, right? But you could do it. You could actually blue up your house. You could put a tarp over your house, you know? I mean, there's all kinds of ways. Just get that frequency in there. But I think it has to do with a sort of a rich, deep blue. But could you imagine that you do that and all of a sudden their weapon doesn't work, and then what happens? They burn everything around you and they send, what, commandos in to hit your house sideways or whatever to burn it down? Paint your house like a Mexican house, just all blue. It's one of the interesting things that the Mexicans do in California is they live in areas without HMOs, and so they paint them bright colors. And sometimes, man, they look amazing. They put like white pinstripes on them and stuff. And it looks like Tim Burton building a new set, but they keep them clean as hell. And you're like, well, we're kind of living in a dull world. You know, these folks are like, why not paint my house a cool color, you know? But imagine around here. I guarantee you there's places in every little city around here where there are some blue homes. And that dude's going to be, if we get burned up and I'm dead, get in there and look around for those Mexican neighborhoods. And there'll be a few blue houses that are probably just fine if that theory is completely correct. The idea, and I don't mean to beat it up, but the idea that homes just spontaneously combust and that the home itself is the reason why the fire jumps to another home is the most asinine thing. We're not built out of like gunpowder and fuse material, right? It's not like it's flash paper roof tiles, right? Not everything in the world sets on fire automatically and then just burns like crazy. Shit in your house burns like crazy. But your house, your siding, you know how many homes in Southern California have all stucco? It'd be interesting to see if they would try to pull it in Southern California where we have tons of conservative folks, because their theory mathematically wouldn't make any sense. And how about the little interesting exercise of doing a little bit of math on that first, getting that published first. If your neighborhood is, you think, a target, potentially. If you have a little tiny town, no one's going to give a shit about you, right? They'll let you starve out like the old man in the cave episode from Twilight Zone. You'll just be left to rot and they'll eventually put military forces in your town. But do the math. Ask a firefighter. Everybody knows firefighters, right? You guys are married to them. You are them every once in a while. Ask them. Does stucco catch on fire? Ask anybody who's gone through a fire. The closest person in my life that had their house burned down had it burned down from the inside. They moved from Northern California up to Seattle to work for Microsoft, and they had everything in the house. He still doesn't know what happened. They're all in the hot tub. Two kids. I mean, this was like actually God doing what God does, right? Protecting people. And I'm not saying that God has anything wrong with people get hurt, but the whole family's in a hot tub and the house starts smoking inside. And he's like, man, nothing was plugged into this, anything. Everything was in boxes. We didn't pull out a coffee maker or an iron. Nothing was plugged in. My house just somehow something caught fire. And he goes, nothing in the boxes could have caught fire by themselves. We weren't using the oven yet, but his house burned down. And the guy was a tough-minded, very masculine guy. And man, I talked to him on the telephone a few years later. I mentioned this a couple times, but it's important right now. And he was pretty devastated. It was a lot of PTSD because he was an artist. When you're an artist, all your stuff is in your boxes, you know? So the big question in the middle of this is, what's it going to take? What event has to take place before we start fighting back a little bit? And how do we fight back? Shit's happening because these scumbag city officials. Talk about, like, there was a joke in the 70s. I don't know if any of you know this, but in the 70s, it was the PTA, the Parent Teachers Association, I think is what it was. And it was a bunch of moms that had been privileged to stay home with their kids, which is great. That's the way we used to do it. But there was like a 9-to-5 fucking narrative that got in their brain, like, you're not important. Raising great kids is an easy job and you're just a worthless female. And so these women would get all insecure. Just very few of them. Very, very few of them. I don't even know any of them in my family's or in my friends' family circles at all. They get in there, and there's a movie about this in the 70s. It's a comedy. It's all about this psychosis, and they would get involved and just basically start bossing around all these other parents. It's a weird thing. When a young girl has a baby, they get into this mode where they believe that a woman with 8 kids who will all become attorneys and doctors and whatever, great people, has no knowledge of raising a child. Well, let me tell you how this works, you know, and it'll be the girl with a six-week-old baby telling a woman who's raised 8 kids how to raise a kid. It's a fucking weird thing. The superiority complex that drops on top of somebody. Really strange. I don't get that so much from the dudes at cigar lounges with brand new kids. They're just like, I can barely sleep. That's all I know. But the city council people are a PTA person times 10. They want to be important. And what's starting to happen is all these foreigners are coming in. I know it sounds like a racist statement, but it's not. These folks are coming in. Some of them are absolutely dedicated to the country, and they're dedicated to sort of fighting the modern culture that's destroying kids, and they really want to make a difference. Well, they get pushed aside, right? They don't get to lead any committees. That person's a trouble causer is what's said behind their back, whether they be American or not. But you get these folks that have been sent in by the Chinese Communist Party, the CCP. Oh, we're going to load you up with cash, make sure you have a nice house, nice car. So when you apply for that public position to decide how a indigenous American town is going to run, to sell all the fucking land off to Bill Gates or back to China, you're going to have the Benz, you're going to have the Bentley, you're going to have the $400,000 house in a little country town or a $4 million house in Southern California. You're going to look successful and you're going to get that position. But when we need you to vote, oh, well, you know, you're going to serve your country like a soldier, and they fucking sell everything out. But if you dare talk back, some people will throw the race card at you. There's two types of, you know, things you have to be careful with your country. You know this, but I'm just going to put it on a point so you can sharpen your sword a little bit. If you had really good citizens from country A infiltrate country B, they're good citizens, but they're different. They're not B people. The country B will become an extension of country A, right? B people will just go away. And if you go with survival of the fittest or other theories, some people are going to say, well, you deserve it. You were weak. You didn't understand what was going on. But the way that the elite do it to a modern country like America and perhaps your country is they so fuck up our lives financially and they get you all busy. You're an influencer walking in front of a camera three times a day, not paying attention. You're too goddamn privileged in some cases. You're worried about whether or not you should get the 80-inch television, replace your shitty old 60-inch television. Meanwhile, they're moving right into your city council. And suddenly you can't do things that you used to do. But the other one is if country A is a third world country and country B is a first world country. Now, there's a big difference, right? There's a huge educational problem with third world countries. Third world countries have been, in some cases, repressed by financial institutions from ever gaining decent education and decent opportunities, which is what any culture that's considered a first world culture has been able to do. The only difference is that in the last, go back 150 years and then continue going back, every single privilege was fought for. Ripping the control out of scumbag monarchies, ripping control out of their fucking hands, sending back their goddamn mercenaries in body bags, you know, making sure that a hillside is just running with the river of their blood, you know, just cue the immigrant song right now, right? So that's the way you have to conquer and get your rights half the time, right? Now, unfortunately, we have plenty of recent history too where seemingly peaceful cultures were wiped out because simply had what they had what someone else wanted. Now, with Europe being like a fucking condom for goddamn monarchies and overall rule, right? You know, the EU is the greatest thing in the fucking planet. Seriously, like every citizen of Europe should be saying, fuck you, EU. We're the fuck out of this country or this organization. All you've done is screw up our economy. You've bankrupt four of the biggest countries in Europe, right? Germany, France, Spain, and Italy, gone. They're upside down, paying off everyone else's fucking debts with some faux nobility that you're helping some other country. Again, it's better that you stay in your country, work really hard, and take your excess cash that you will towards a third world country and get them repaired. Problem is, the whole thing is controlled. Why isn't there a nuclear power plant on the entire continent of Africa, the biggest goddamn continent? Because the whole continent has been repressed for so goddamn long that, you know, you have every level of sophistication and lack of sophistication. Coincidentally, the people who have lack of sophistication are living in perpetual balance with nature, right? They wake up and they live off the land. They could have electricity. They could not have electricity. And they'll barely notice any difference in the quality of life because they're a complete balance with nature. They never got off kilter and needed shit that Europeans think they need or Americans think they need, right? But first world countries think that they have the standard they want everyone else to live by because it creates dependencies. If I can convince you, you need a bunch of shit that you don't need, I got you, right? And so how does it work when they used to sell a razor that cuts your whiskers on your face? You give away the razor for free, maybe a couple blades with it. As soon as you use it, you're like, oh shit, man, I don't want to fucking use that old knife again. And so then you start buying blades, right? Was it Gillette and Schick? Used to sell four blades for $25. What are you fucking kidding me? How much money do you think it costs to put that together? I mean, even R&D, how many millions of dollars do you think it took to make two blades on a fucking little tiny cartridge? What do you need? $5 million to figure out how to do that? Well, then you should fire all your engineers, for fuck's sake. I'll give you $300,000 to kind of figure that out and build a machine that makes it happen. And then you get a certain rotating cost for building that. The $25 for four fucking blades? What are you kidding me? Dollar Shave Club gets, I think, bought by Gillette or Schick or one of the two. Still manages to give you a shit ton of blades for $10 now. Like six blades for $10. At least that's better. But they get us dependent. And then, as you've seen in several movies, even though they're fictional, they're based on easy algorithms that exist in your neighborhood, which is somebody saying, oh, you don't want to be, have all this fun stuff taken away. So you're going to do what you're going to sell your soul basically to the devil. You will never fucking meet God in your entire existence, potentially. Potentially. And if you do, you'll be so fucking embarrassed that if you had a door and you're in heaven and they say, God's on the other side of this door, you want to walk through? And you're so fucking ashamed of your goddamn existence that you won't walk through that fucking door. And you're going, no, I'll stay in this this gin pop area out here where I can get shanked by some dude. Because that would be better than standing before God, knowing that I was given every privilege in the world, great genetics, great fucking opportunities. Much as I might have bitched as a human being, I still really, now I'm in heaven, now I know I'm full of shit. I made excuses about my entire fucking life. Why, you know, I did drugs and fucked up my life until I was 40 or whatever. I got friends who did that on accident. The lead singer of Steel Panther, Ralph. I think I told you guys a long time ago. This is a great story. It's an uplifting story. I watched them perform. And I'm with the Nickelback lead singer. Which everyone hates Nickelback. I don't understand why. If you hate that guy, you better hate everyone else in the fucking 90s. But he and I are walking back. And we finally, we passed Satchel, the guitar player. And then he was so fucking cool. And we're walking back. And I already knew Ralph. And so I knew how they did their gig. You know, they have a backup track. But still, Ralph can sing like David Lee Roth, man. I think Ralph was probably about 42. And so there's this crazy situation. I got Ralph on the right, Nickelback lead singer on my left. I forgot his name. And I'm right in the middle, and I'm just listening. I'm not saying anything. Ralph already knows me. I already said hi to him that day. And so he's like, man, was that really you singing the David Lee Roth voice and the scream? And he's like, yeah, yeah. He goes, do it. Do it right now. He says, man, you know, I'm already, what did he say? He's off his day job or something. He said, no, do it. And so he did it. Boom, he screams. And he does that crazy David Lee Roth upper level scream that only David does, right? And the Nickelback guy looks at him and he's just like, why weren't you famous? Like back when we were playing. Because literally, Ralph is the age that could have blown up in the late 80s. And he looked at the guy and he said, crack cocaine. And the guy laughed. I didn't know this story. I'm just listening. I'm like, ooh, that's funny. Because Steel Panther is a funny band. It's literally a funny band. And Ralph didn't move. And he goes, really? He said, really? That's what happened? And he goes, yeah, man. He goes, well, what happened? And he says, well, I met my wife at 37 years old. I think Ralph said he took a hit somewhere in his late 20s, 27. For 10 years, he was hooked on crack. You really wouldn't know it. I mean, Ralph looks fantastic, right? He said, yeah, my wife got me out in about 9 months. And he goes, then we put this band together. And the band was like utterly amazing. They hadn't made their own records just yet. They were still doing covers. But I mean, oh my God, it was phenomenal. Never forget that story. The dude jumped out of pissing away his life, really honed down learning all these songs. And eventually when they started coming out with their own stuff, you really found the other half of their talent. I mean, they could make serious songs, but they just have a gimmick that's great. We are living in sort of the damaged, psychotic world of what banks and monarchs, the same fucking thing, have done to a bunch of us. They absolutely have orchestrated suffering on every conceivable level. Now, can we live in a world where everyone's got everything that they want constantly? Probably not. But what would be a balanced world? What would be a godly, balanced world where there still is things that you don't like and things you do like? I think the definition of that would be, well, if we got rid of all of the goddamn weather manipulation shit, if we got rid of all the synthesized food, if we rediscovered medicine and got rid of all these fucking pharmaceutical companies and got real medicine, if everything that's bad in the world that's been synthesized is obliterated, LED lights, flickering TVs, everything that's propaganda, lies. Everywhere we know shit is stupid, we get rid of it. All the history that's fake, we get rid of it. Dinosaurs, done. We actually figure out a way to put something up into space and then take a look at where the fuck we are. Solve that mystery once and for all, right? Over and over and over. We still have hurricanes because they're natural things. They're just not created by machines. But we also have machines to get rid of those fucking things. It's funny that Bill Gates actually invested in a company. He's on a patent to adjust the temperature of water around a hurricane to make sure it disappears. It was patented. It was in the news. I just posted the video for one that was announced on the Telegram. If you're not a Telegram channel, you are losing out, man. It's got everything. You can download everything right to your phone. We don't post that many links to other places. If we do, it's to Rumble or something where you could easily kind of get it down to your device. But why are there still hurricanes if he patented this technology? But tornadoes are going to happen. Save technology that could get rid of them. But shit's going to happen. You're going to walk out on ice and fall and bang your fucking head. And every once in a while, people are going to die of that shit. People aren't going to drive correctly, even though they've been taught correctly. Shit's going to happen, and we're still going to have good and bad, but it's not going to be evil and good, right? Evil means that something happened to you that was instigated by someone else or something else, usually a group or an individual. That we can probably completely get rid of it because there's going to be mental illness we need to look for. But what if all the technology that we're creating today to spy on everybody is simply used very judiciously in places where we can keep people from driving home drunk? What if some self-driving cars are immediately taking you to a bar, taking you home? What if the amount of fucking booze you drink could be counteracted such that it doesn't destroy your body? What if you could just control yourself? Do no harm is a very simple principle of the universe. And it could be applied anywhere to stabilize things. Now, was America founded by a bunch of dudes who were into something different, some Templar thing? Sure, that is true. That is absolutely true. Now, do they engage in a bunch of evil eventually? I don't know. Because you got a bunch of guys in the 1700s doing a bunch of shit, and then they die. Just like, Charlie Chaplin said, as long as men die, freedom and liberty will prevail. That's true. You just got to make sure the next generation isn't being completely fucking disturbed mentally. Which, at this point, the amount of... It's still the overwhelming teeny tiny minority, but how many kids exist in the United States that I haven't heard about gender dysphoria and all this other horse shit? California just tried to pass a law that could take your fucking kid away if you don't completely accept the pedophile teacher telling your child that they aren't what they biologically are, so they're going to have a hole to punch later on in life, right? You're going to get your kid to get in that surgery so the art teacher or the drama teacher can have a little boy to play with later on. He won't have any choice. He won't have anything left. He's not making his own decision. He's being indoctrinated when he's impressionable. And the sad fact is that we know a bunch of parents don't pay attention to their fucking kids. And they've been able to do that for a really long time. But of course, they want to claim, foul as soon as their kid is the one blowing people away at a goddamn convenience store, or their kid is the one that rapes somebody, or their kid's trying to kill them in the middle of the night. Because the kid's like, you're a piece of shit parent. Why the fuck should I even let you live? And they're like, I'll pay attention to you from now on, but it's too late. Now's the time to really get involved with your children. Super get involved. If you're a grandparent, get involved with your grandkid. If anybody's on the way in a womb, change your life to be a part of their life if you think they're not going to get the proper attention. If you got money, make sure, if you got a kid and you got money and your kid can't stay home and raise the children, liquefy whatever the fuck you got and make sure that kid can do it. But make sure they understand this is a very important phase, not going to be forever. We're going to get the kid in a private school. Let's think about vaccines. Let's think about all this shit that's been sold to you and you bought it because you want to be a good parent. And someone told you you're not a good parent if you don't do this bullshit. The amount of friends I have that have kids that aren't vaccinated, it's really amazing. These guys will tell me, and they tell me with almost guilt, like they feel guilty. They think I'm going to judge them. And as soon as they say, you know, I didn't vaccinate my two sons, I'm just like, yes. And as soon as I say that, you should see the happiness on their face. They know they made the right decision. They're just worried about being judged. By who? Who gives a fuck? Who gives a fuck if I judge you? Who cares? Just do no harm to yourself and to others, especially your family line. If you're looking in the mirror and you're thinking, man, you know what? I'm not perfect, but I got more shit right than most people. And it's not a competition. You're not putting anybody down. But you feel like you're more in tune with your God. You're doing as little harm to others as possible. No one's perfect, right? Then your gene pool should move on, right? And you should raise the next generation to understand why you made the decisions that you made. Let's not let them erase the world. The reality is there's still time. And there's still time because you're alive. That's really the case. For any of you who are role players, any of you play video games, let's use an analogy. You're playing a video game. I wouldn't even say what kind of game. You're playing a game and there's a monster. There's an enemy. And it has 1 point of health. But it also has a gun. And it's got you in its crosshairs. With 1 point of health, when they pull that trigger and they hit your character, how much hit points do you lose? Do you lose more hit points or less hit points or the same amount of hit points that their previous bullet did to you? I mean, I know there's regenerable gains where it hit you in the arm and the head. But overall, if you got 1 point of hit points left, 1 point of health left, you're just as dangerous as you were with all of your hit points. So no matter how knocked down you are, as long as you're existing in this world and you have your faculties in your mind and you can type a comment or you can make a video or pass a video or pass a picture, pass a meme, do some detective work. There's too many fucking people out there right now that are passing shit along just as fast as it comes out, right? And it happens to all of us. We have to kind of qualify things if things smell a little fishy. When the Maui fire happened, Lahaina fire, we're trying to pass as much information out there, but inside the Deep Thoughts channel on Telegram, we're putting qualifiers at the bottom wherever possible. This is a theory. We'll see what this pans out. Or I'll post a video that says a whole allegation of a particular way something works. And then we'll say, I don't think this is actually the case because of this, this, and this, but give me your opinion. It's not to solicit comments. We don't give a fuck about how many comments goes on anything. The deal is to pass around the information to help you with a loved one or a friend or a random stranger to solidify, hey, Nova Scotia just lit on fire all at once. Here's the video from space, okay, from upper atmosphere cameras, right? You know, before it was everyone worried about the Ukraine war, everyone was worried about China trying to take over Taiwan. China Uncensored released a pretty interesting video describing why China would not take over Ukraine anytime soon, and it's because they're in complete financial ruin right now, right? The big real estate company over there that went tits up, it comprised 30% of their revenue. Their GDP is coming from that real estate boom. So to have that go upside down started a huge cascade of unemployment for the younger generation. So the generation graduating out of high school and college, the last published percentage of unemployment in China was 20%. 20% last published. They now have censored anyone updating that number. I don't quite know how you get that number. But damn, you know all their numbers are censored like crazy. China's living on a prayer constantly. They lie about their currency. They lie about all their profits. They lie about absolutely fucking everything. Okay. People are good people. Their country, their CCP layer is where the problem is, right? people making videos, oh, China's Navy is getting larger than the United States Navy, but never mentioning the fact that all their boats are powered by fucking diesel. You know how fast a boat explodes and sinks? It's made by diesel fuel. It's using diesel fuel to move around. Just one torpedo, one laser, one guided missile. It's a firework show of fireworks. They're not fucking stupid, okay? Taiwan makes chips. Taiwan is the emperor of China during Mao's invasion, moving to Taiwan and setting up shop, taking all the most brilliant Chinese people over there. Meanwhile, Mao's killing off all the brilliant people in China, right? Because he's jealous. Okay, he was a dipshit. He was a communist fucking troglodyte cave-dwelling fucking dipshit who fucked up his entire country, killing over 40 million people in two phases, okay? So the emperor took all the geniuses and didn't repress them and moved them to Taiwan. Taiwan has chip plants that average about $20 billion to make one plant. A lot of them are running in the dark because they're just automated like motherfucker, right? Okay, China can't take over those factories. They don't have the vocational capability, the intelligence to just take over the positions at those chip companies. And in the invasion, they'd most likely blow the fucking things up in the first place. And that would be hilarious if that happens, because everyone's going to find out how brilliant Taiwan was, because they tried to build a $20 billion factory. Yes, that's what the B in the United States, because we got some pretty smart kids over here, or in Europe or whatever. You're going to find out that a barista just can't quite figure out nanometer chips, right? They can't even talk the vocabulary. There's not enough Caltech kids and MIT kids to take over these factories. And so you won't be able to get any new cars. You won't be able to get any new computers. You won't be able to get any new TVs, because every one of those devices uses a chip out of that region of the world. Yes, China makes some low-end stuff because they bought some machines that do it overnight. That's nothing compared to the loss that Taiwan would have in store for the rest of the world, okay? So it's very important we protect that place. It does no harm to anyone. Ukraine war is still getting funded like crazy. The corrupt Biden administration is paying off probably blackmail after blackmail after blackmail, because his family is completely fucked up and there's so much negative, so much utter, like, unequivocal crime going on in the Ukraine for the last 20 years, right? They always want one place in the world that is fully corrupt and it's legal, because there's no laws against it. In terms of international law that they're violating, well, that's where they have to spend a little effort to make sure no one ever finds out. So it's my suspicion that they're picking a new region of the world and they're corrupting that region and they're protecting it, and it's off the radar right now. And Ukraine's going to settle down and become a nothing burger. And this new place is going to ramp up. We won't have any more war in that area. I mean, I don't know. You never know. If people think we're going to go against the bear, and it's like, I don't think we're going to go against the bear. It doesn't mean Biden's controllers, which is very evident. Every goddamn speech Biden gives is all about him. He literally got pushed off the stage today. He got pushed off the stage today because he's talking about following orders. He can't read a piece of paper. Everything that's going in his ear comes out of his mouth. He's losing his entire physical and mental capacity to be a normal human being. He should be in some hospice somewhere, just living out his last couple of years of life. Guy's a complete pedophile, complete criminal, doesn't deserve what he's got right now. But he definitely shouldn't be president of the United States of America. They're trying to incubate up this Kamala thing. Hilarious, right? She just had a little party in her backyard to celebrate the anniversary of hip-hop, and it's very apparent she still dresses herself. Meanwhile, the world's burning down. So the recipe for protecting your neighborhood, in my opinion, goes as follows. You need to look at all the publications that say that your area might have a tinderbox somewhere that could catch on fire. Just, it doesn't actually have to be real. They just have to say it's that it's real. Okay. Could be a complete lie. And you need to understand that that's going to be where they light a fire. Or, like in Maui, they'll just light it anywhere and say, well, there were these tinderbox areas. And, you know, they might burn those up, but they don't even spread. They don't go anywhere. They're not responsible for anything as they blow down Lahaina with weapons. So you want to fortify yourself. Look at what everyone's house is made out of in your area. If you got a hoarder with a ton of shit in their backyard, maybe it's a good time to go to your city council, especially live in a tiny little town, and go, there's a bunch of fires around the world. Not sure how this stuff starts, but I sure hate to have a lightning bolt land in that guy's backyard and his block goes down or something else happens. What if you found a city council member that actually follows the stuff that you're following and they actually know that weapons are being used? Now, they're not going to say it publicly, but they might get shit done to clean up the area. But if nothing else, just do the science of your neighborhood. Figure out what's flammable, what's not flammable. If you got a bunch of aluminum siding houses, what's going to catch on fire? How's it going to quickly just incinerate one house after the other down to white ash? Right? That is not something that happens naturally. That's something that happens in a weaponized attack on the world to erase it and give it to people like Bill Gates or China or BlackRock or Oprah or The Rock. People who just want to have stuff, right? The ghetto to riches formula is something that I have kind of beat around the bush about, but it is very real. All these shills that you've got, your Jay-Z's of the world, your Beyoncé's of the world, and there's plenty of them, right? There's plenty of kids in every race, every creed. They find them in these, well, you're not very rich, are you, right? Your family's just that normal family. You've been underestimated the whole time, but you're so talented, right? Cardi B, Nicki Minaj, right? All these folks who have these horrific stories about selling their bodies to get their tickets to go to get a new album made, get a new concert greenlit. Selling themselves and their souls, especially, man, so they can get a little bit. And the idea is you're somebody now. That's the thing. You're somebody. You know, move up in the world. Don't you want to be a movie star? Don't you want to be on TV? What's funny about the whole thing is that for years, you had people become celebrities, you know, for the last 150 years. Because we had movies to promote people and then eventually radio and TV and then the internet. And that's what all these, you know, chicks walking in front of cameras, the influencers. Oh boy, you're fucking somebody, man. You're famous for nothing, okay? Meanwhile, the world burns down. But back in the day, you'd have celebrities that just kind of pulled out of really talking to people because they're like, you know what, this is all bullshit. You know, if I had a really low self-integrity and a really bad ego that was very, you know, tender, then I would be really manipulated by random strangers coming up to me and saying how wonderful I am because I did something. Now, there are different professions where that might feel a little bit more satisfying. If you're a musician that wrote your own music, perform your own music, the thing is completely your creation. And then when someone says you're wonderful, whatever, for creating this, you might be like, well, I did create every bit of what you like. But you take an actor, for instance, a guy or gal that pretends to be other people. That's what they're good at. Well, everything is arranged for them. The lighting, the sets, the words, the editing. They fuck something up. We'll just take another take, or we'll flub something else in. We got voice actors that can do your voice better than you can. Okay, so when someone walks up to you and says how amazing you are they thanking the 350 people that made the movie? No, they're lumping all that credit onto your accomplishment when it's not even your accomplishment. And a lot of folks have integrity. And they go, well, I just do what I do, you know? I do a little tiny part. But yeah, I'm the face that you see in the movie. But when you have this sort of PTSD that's generated by the ghetto, it's like it never goes away. There's never enough undulation. There's never enough bullshit that you'll sign off on. It's unbelievable. I mean, you could name dozens and dozens and dozens of folks. Some people kill themselves after they don't have the undulation from the public. Someone constantly built it because they don't have anything inside themselves, right? No one completes us but us. And that's the truth, right? Now, some people are very fortunate. They have spouses or partners that they get to spend the rest of their life with. And man, more power to you. That's awesome. And maybe you don't complete yourself your entire life because they're a yin and a yang, the two of you together, or yin and yang. I guess there's nothing wrong with that. Seems like that's the way God made it. But in the end, you really do need to complete yourself. So you have something to offer the other side. If you're the yin, how do you give anything a yang if you're not fully yin, you know? All of this roots itself in sort of who you are, your convictions in life. Is it important that any of this continues? Is God's experiment important or is it not important? Maybe you get to a point where you're like, ah, fuck it. God's letting all this shit happen to us. Or is God trying to see what you're made out of? I mean, come on. We've read about history where shit happened, right? I think the Revolutionary War, whether it be a bunch of Masons who finally build a bunch of, you know, Masonic shit in Washington, D.C., and then make it its own country so they can create a corporation around it. Yeah, eventually it turned into shit. But I'm willing to bet a lot of folks, what is it, the 13 presidents that were before Washington too, I bet a lot of folks sacrificed a lot. The North and the South going at it during the Civil War. Those are some real battles. There's battles that have happened all throughout history, all over your country, your land, my land. It wasn't fun. It wasn't fun to eat a fucking cannonball shot right through your fucking chest, right? And the last thing you see is your eyesight flipping around because your head's kind of off on its own and you're going to have a few seconds of life. And your future is just ended as a human being, as whatever that person's name was, it's over. But in the end, if we win, and so far the good side has won more than the bad side, but man, they're catching up like a motherfucker, aren't they? It's happening on our watch. That's the truth. It's happening on our watch. And, you know, I'm in my 50s, so there's a limit to what I can physically do in this world. There just is. I'm not a Navy SEAL. I can't join the military. Military's got some corrupt fucking people in it now. They're trying to vax out all of our soldiers and kill everybody. Some of you are younger. Some of you are connected where it matters. Maybe you don't even realize it. A lot of it just has to do with your relatives and your friends. The other sort of horrible truth about the world is that all the organizations that are supposed to protect us are corrupt. All right? If you're in a small town, you might have the ability to name a few organizations that lack people who will take money to do anything, right? But what's funny is, like, you know, LAPD chased a guy once who was trying to expose the drug trade. And they put an all-points bulletin out to kill this motherfucker, right? He ended up going down to San Diego, and they did a John Wilkes Booth death. He was inside some shed, and they well, this is the story anyway, and they said they burned him out, and of course, he died of smoke inhalation. Wow, they pulled an 1865 card out, played it, and the world went, oh, that sounds real. Okay. He was a liability to the LAPD is what it was, right? Michael Rupert has life destroyed before he committed suicide. He literally went into such depression. I think he 100% killed himself. All right. In my little hometown, it was interesting, and I don't know how to really process this. The cops would buy the kids beer. and booze and whatever. Now, there's usually everybody knew someone who was older, who wasn't a cop, but I know plenty of females that the cops would just, you know, stay close to them. One of them married one of my classmates. I think he was like 10 or 15 years older than her, and he married her. And I think they stayed together for a really long time. But there are good people, usually everywhere. The kiss of death is to try and walk into a corrupt organization and you know, act like some old 1945 movie and go, hey, you know, I'm a taxpayer and, you know, you got to follow the rules and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, that didn't work anymore. Okay. No one fears the law anymore. Okay. The law is just as applicable to you as the money you have in the bank to pay everybody off to get out of jail. What's actually fascinating about all these sort of true crime videos that you can see in the night index in America, at least American Greed, Dateline. If you kill somebody, usually you're gonna pay the full price, and it's really strange. If you're a gangster and you kill somebody, shit, you're out in fucking 8-9 years. If you're not a gangster and you kill somebody, you're in for life with no parole. It's the weirdest thing. You just get to the end of those shows and watch how they're being sentenced. But there are people who every single day steal everyone's money. $50 million, $100 million, billions of dollars. Remember Milken? The junk bonds guy? Penny stock people? Ponzi schemes? Well, they go to an HBO prison. And they're out in no time flat. But how many lives did they completely destroy by stealing everyone's money? Well, everyone's life that they touched is completely destroyed. People's life savings taken and ponzied away. The reason why I mention it in this particular episode, which is sort of a flavor of a chaos episode, it will be published as such, not on YouTube, but on all the other platforms, is this is getting to the actual fabric of humanity that is left. We have to be able to assess what our strengths and weaknesses are. And humanity, based on where you are geographically in the world, has certain strengths and weaknesses, certain beliefs. There are certain areas of the world that are fairly religious. But what's interesting about that whole thing is that I'll give you a few contradictions. South America, very Catholic, is what we're told around the world. Now, Catholicism doesn't play any games, right? You fuck around in Catholicism, you're out of heaven. Boom. You will never make it. But where do you have some of the worst cartel deaths, slaughters, beheadings? South America. So somehow they're convincing these guys to tattoo themselves head to toe and murder each other like their own people. Murder each other because they're encroaching on different drug cartel areas. Okay, so for a little bit of coke that you're never going to see any big money for, you're never going anywhere. According to your religion, you're not going anywhere. Well, where does America derive all of their Godfather movie themes from? Italy. I think a bunch of that's true. I've got a bunch of friends who have families that go back all the way back to, you know, mainland Italy. And I hear the stories, and they're ancient stories that have been going on for hundreds of years. But what is Italy known for? The Vatican. It's the center point of Christianity. It is. It is where it budded from. It's a pretty decent way to believe. No harm. And you want a manual and no harm? Well, New Testament's all you need. Old Testament, if you want a little bonus section, but just remember the laws were changed. The doctrine of God changed in the New Testament. New Testament really is just as simple as ever to follow and get to the gates of heaven, right? Okay. Well, then how is it that the Vatican has got so much pedophilia on its back? What happened to the guy that accidentally hit John Gotti's son and killed him? He got taken down to a basement, tied to a bunch of steam pipes, and John Gotti supposedly cut him up with a chainsaw. Because you don't mess with my kids. They're priceless things. No women, no children. I know it was in The Professional, but that was a real decree. Don't kill anyone's wife. Don't kill anyone's kids. Well, what about a religious institution that is the absolute focal point of world pedophilia? And anyone else who's playing the game is dealing with them in some business way. I don't know. So you have a faction of very tough individuals that genetically took over the goddamn world at one point, right? And they're not doing anything about the organization that is the capital of this shit in their country. I don't believe for an instant anyone I've ever met who's a true Italian from either immigrants or native have any pedophilia in their background whatsoever. It is the absolute opposite of their genetic code. So they still maintain integrity, 100%. Yeah, they might be selling drugs and that kind of thing, but they don't touch kids. How are they allowing this organization to exist? It should tell you how powerful that organization is to be untouched. I mean, they got 25-foot walls that are like, you know, I don't know how many feet thick, but they're sequestered away. And it's not even talk about changing it. And it's funny because when I was raised Catholic until I was about maybe 10 and was constantly going, you know, to church, being dragged to it, you know, you messed up, you were out. My parents got divorced and my dad never gave a shit about going to church, but my mom did. And she moved 100 miles away and tried to go to a Catholic church, and they knew she got divorced. And they said, sorry, ma'am, you got divorced. You can't come here anymore. And that's why she's not a Catholic to this day. Okay. So you can't get divorced, but you can molest kids all you want. And they'll help pay for you to get moved around the world so you can continue doing it. Wow. You don't think people understand that? The one thing that could bring down almost every corrupt organization in the world is someone losing their constitution to continue the crime. Someone who was involved in the military operation, albeit not maybe United States technically or Europe technically, but some deep state military operation to burn out Lahaina, to burn out Paradise, to burn out Nova Scotia, to potentially create all these horrific floods we've had around the world and these earthquakes we've had around the world. All it takes is one person to defect, to explain how it all works. Maybe they're going to get blown away in the next 5 minutes of their life, but they find a way to put stuff out. One of the interesting things that's happening on Telegram, and it's absolutely categorical because I'm now taking in tons of content and reposting it, right? Is anytime something touches the pedophilia realm, like a giant documentary or something, you try to watch the video and you can't watch it. They have corrupted the feeds of these files. But what's interesting is so far, and it's going to change because we're catching on, you can download that file and run it through a conversion process, get it streaming, whatever. You can't even play it on your local computer. They say, oh, you can't play this because it's not streaming. The codec is not streaming. Well, that means you could pull it down your local computer. Now you no longer have the necessity to stream because you're playing the file off your computer. Still won't play. You got to run it through something. Cleans it up and you can repost it. The other one is if you have a video like the one I mentioned about the arcing electricity swimming around on this neighborhood, like a directed target, it's either here or it's there. It's never in two different places, like a true organic sort of short circuiting of various transformers. You can't watch it. It's a tiny little 4-minute video. I had to download it, had to convert it, and I put it back up on Deep Thoughts channel. So the stuff on our channel, in some cases, are videos that you can't watch anywhere else. But they're not looking at our channel. It's only got 155 subscribers. But other channels got 45,000 subs and or members or whatever you call it. And so they're targeted. And it's literally all it has to be is it's not Telegram that's doing it. It's from their local computer as it climbs over all of the Cisco Alphabet Agency routers. They just get corrupted as they move from one place to another. You could encode something live from point A to point B and change it. It's going to get worse. In my opinion, there's enough videos out there about fake climate change, about pedophilia, about all these cataclysmic things, directed energy weapons. Again, HAARP was patented for all this stuff in 1958. So it happens. It happens all around the world, and it makes no sense, but we've actually patented weapons more than half a century ago. I'm just saying, maybe they're connected, right? But you've got enough files now. You can download it into a device that you could cut off from the internet, and it's just a play device, right? You could actually always keep it off the internet and then just move it from your local computer to that device and just show it to people, and no one can climb in your device and figure out what you've got on there. Throughout history, we've created titles and positions within organizations for individuals who are responsible for defending whatever it is you want to defend. The Knights Templar, right? It was a soldier that fought for whatever their cause was, they thought their cause was about. All right. Maybe we need some sort of organized position. It's funny. I'll give you a stupid analogy. In the 90s, they had something called a webmaster. And a webmaster was someone with very specific skills. If you didn't have these skills, you weren't a webmaster. And it was that you were an artist and a programmer. And it means an artist that knows how to lay out information, meaning you had a decent background in information architecture, meaning arranging information on a page that became easily digestible, teaching the brain where navigation was and where content was. And then if you made multiple pages, it always remained in those sockets on the page above the fold so that people knew where to navigate back. They never lost where they were, so you had a cookie crumb sort of indicator, right? But you also had to be able to program it. So you drew it and you programmed it. And then it was kind of funny. In the late 90s, you had people advertising for webmasters, but you only had to be a coder or you only had to be an artist. And for those of us who did both, we're like, hey, that's just an artist. That's just a coder. Webmaster is a very tender little title for our little sore buttholes, right? So obviously we got over ourselves. But imagine that we created some sort of info warrior. And it basically said, this is what you have to have. You have to have some non-internet device. Pick your device, right? It could be just some weird little player out there made in China for all you fucking care, right? It's not internet enabled, but you can move files to it and you can play the video. And then it's like you're the Red Beret guys in New York who secure the subway. All right. So what is their job? It's to secure the subway. And the streets that kind of connect the subway portals, right? So you can come up above, you can go down below. Most of them are down below. But now we're finding them on the sidewalks going, what the hell are all these immigrants doing here, right? Some of you are just great statisticians. And you're able to figure out the odds of things happening. You're able to find out the empirical evidence around a particular claim. With things like climate change, right? It's been presented over and over and over by scientists from all around the world. I just posted I think it was a Chinese American, and he did an amazing video just telling you everything I've told you and everything all the scientists that were part of the original IPCC from the UN who denied the fact that any of this was true. With what? Oh, real science, right? All you need is a few of those videos to show someone, to say, look, go look up the definition on Wikipedia what the greenhouse gas layer index is. Then while you're there, look up how much CO2 is in it. And then cry me a fucking river that has anything to do with us heating the world, right? A mechanism that is coming that we haven't even really talked about much is the carbon credit system. It's coming. The G20 just talked about green lighting the digital currency. And it's going to come a little chip in the web of your hand. And, you know, if you're worried about, you know, women who walk in front of fucking cameras three times a day, then you're really going to worry about whether or not you can buy your groceries with that chip in your hand. Oh, I don't want to use the telephone. I don't want to bring cash because I'll look stupid in line. I don't want to type my ATM, you know, debit card digit in there. I'm slowing everything down with everyone else going boop with their hand, right? You have to not give a fuck. You have to stand up for what's right. And honestly, I don't want to demonize all technology. Everything that we're seeing today in terms of technology that's being used to control and create a tyrannical world, all that can be flipped in a really positive way. You know, electric cars, well, you got a problem. We have built a whole world out of oil, and now we use it up. And if we don't use it, we're going to have issues, like I mentioned on my last episode. The expanding Earth event, it's going to be a problem. We got to figure something out. We can build vehicles that run on tap water, right? Stan Myers, got to go see that episode. He built a vehicle that ran on tap water. They killed him in 98 because he wouldn't sell it to the oil companies for $1.1 billion, as announced on ABC when they did a special on the guy. Stan thought he had more years left than he actually had left. He took his patents and all of his diagrams and he obfuscated them. We finally figured it out, but a little too late. He was kind of only a conspiracy thing now. You could only find Stan Myers and sort of obscure YouTube videos, which no one pays attention to, or Rumble. And what I'm finding now is this is just fascinating, and it might be due to cell phones or just sheer lack of fucking education in this world, is I will have someone, you know, broach a conversation with me about something that they care about. Oh, global warming's bullshit. And then, and they don't have the science. And so I'll just tell them that real quick thing about the greenhouse gas, and they're totally satiated. But that's sort of where their brain ends. They just want to have a private conversation. They don't think they need to make any changes. A friend of mine talks about how his sons are addicted to Minecraft. He's concerned about their addiction to Minecraft. When I said, hey, dude, you know, why don't you go get them some of these Arduino kits in the Make movement? Why don't you get them a chemistry kit? Why don't you get them, he likes models that the dad does, like old-fashioned models. Like, why don't you build a couple in front of your kids? Don't even tell them that you want them to do it. Just show them something fucking cool, and they'll just want to do it. And it was like he just couldn't wait to get back to mundane bullshit conversations right after. He's a great guy. But it's like, do you fucking care about your kids? Do you really care about are you just fucking wasting my time running your mouth about bullshit? You got to fucking care. You have to care. And if you don't fucking care, then there's that little survival of the fittest algorithm that's going to come around to snip your balls off and your kids will just go into oblivion. It won't matter that you had them because you didn't protect them. You didn't protect their brains. You could have two kids that are unvaccinated. You don't take care of their brains. What's the point? Did you have this theme in your life to care about your children? Well, it's not just a couple convenient little things for you or a couple inconvenient things. It's everything. It's everything that these kids are. You have to care about the whole fucking thing. But the second the dads or moms get off on this bullshit, it's not important in life. These fucking, you know, these infinite want lists instead of must-have strategic, you know, resource lists, it's over. I've mentioned that No Country for Old Men thing several times in episodes, but Jesus, the species of that problem today is like, it's like no world for old people, right? If you're old-fashioned and you believe in the world, that it should exist and that we're here for a reason, that there's been a lot of effort to create this cosmology that we're in, it's almost as if the inhabitants of this cosmology have suddenly just given up on the cosmology itself. It's like we are professing to our creator, whether there'll be God is the next level up or he's created life forces in between us that have helped create this realm and then he's just way the hell up there. Doesn't matter. What we are telling the investors of our company called this planet and this world is that we're done. Fuck it. You know, a couple bad things happened. We can't fight back. Well, you know, I got to get back to my fucking dateline that's coming up because I love watching shows about people who fucked up their life because it makes me feel like my life isn't so messed up. That's what all the gossip, TMZ.coms are all about. You can tune into a website every day and hate on rich people, hate on talented people versus a bunch of completely untalented people these days, but if you hear about an old celebrity There's this tons of channels on YouTube. The sad, tragic life of this person. And they have fucking millions of views, and a lot of them are just bullshit. The end. They're not dead yet. They haven't completely fucked up their life. They just had a life. They just had a normal life with some ups and some downs, right? But these people are creating channels, exploiting that to make people feel better about themselves. There's an old saying, you know, for you to win, everyone else has to win too. Now, hopefully, the other party is not trying to kill you. But that would come out of a mindset that is a fractured world, a world that has been so abused that you have people that want to do that kind of thing. They've been neglected. We've looked the other way as bankers have destroyed worlds, as wars have been greenlit. And, you know, just like, what was it, Charlie Chaplin's greatest speech, right? The Great Dictator speech. The reason why he incurred a lot of problems after he released that movie and got deported, well, he fucking ran to Switzerland, right? Or Sweden or something like that. Stayed in Europe, was that he was trying to say, hey, don't just be a soldier in any military organization without keeping your ethics, right? Don't let someone, you know, scream at you and yell at you and brainwash you into not meeting God with the most perfect soul you could possibly have. You better be sure that the wars you're getting into are important. Why do you think compartmentalization exists? So that some cocksucker above you can convince you with bullshit information, lies and deceit, dossiers that are bullshit, right? That you need to do this. Your soul doesn't need any more integrity. Just do what I say. And that'll make you a good person. Oh, and by the way, there's a thing we can pin on your chest if you really do what I say. There was a time when those things were, for the most part, very noble things. Still, it was a result of some chicanery. But there are factions out there that have enough. And there's just some asshole that's got greed in their bloodline. They're psychopaths, right? That's why you should never have a position in the world like a monarchy. You can't have those positions. If you have those positions and say one generation's great, king whatever was great, queen whatever was great to their people and it prospered. Well, the second their fucking weird ass son or daughter takes over that role and wants to burn the fucking place down because they hate the mirror, you've created this institution that can make those ridiculous claims, and they'll get all these, again, the ghetto people who grew up in a rural area that sucks, and they'll pay them money, and it's that old fucking saying. I've had close friends say this to my face. Well, as long as you get yours. Oh, really? Why don't you tell it to God? Why don't you go fucking tell that to God? You got yours, right? And it's who's going to pull that fucking lever and that trap door and your fucking feet's going to fall out and good luck where you're going, man. I gave you an analogy a few episodes back about a kid's table and an adult table. I don't know about you, but when I was a kid, if they had some big holiday event, the kids were at a kid's table. Sometimes it's allowed next to the adult tables, like kick our ass if we got out of hand, but a lot of times it's in a different room. They don't want to listen to you because you're a fucking child. You're being childlike. They should keep it close. They can snap on you and keep you growing up properly. But let's just say the afterworld's a bit like that. There's a kid's table and there's an adult table. How many fucking generations do you want to live at the kid's table? Hell may just be you're always at the kid's table. You never mature as a human being. You never take advantage of what your soul has to offer, which is all truth and all information. You know what's good and you know what's bad. You know what's evil. But you still want to take a paycheck for it. The best thing about being an entrepreneur in this world, not working for somebody else, is you can really control your entire contribution to the world as an individual. You can simply say, I won't do that. Sorry, I don't have to. I make my own hours. I choose the work I want to do and to choose the work I don't want to do. But what happens if they fuck up the entire economy worldwide? Ooh, now entrepreneurship is a myth. Do people really work for themselves, Dad? I don't know. Shit, I never have. Mm-hmm. 150 years ago, everyone was an entrepreneur. Everybody. And, you know, even if you worked at some store in the 1800s in the Midwest of, say, America or whatever, you worked for a family that was typically pretty decent. Yeah, there's always weirdos here and there. But you were a blacksmith. You made clothing. You made saddles. You took care of someone's livestock. You were a farmhand. Maybe you had your own farm. But you owned your house. Whatever vehicle was the vehicle, whether it be horse and buggy or car, you had one. You were expected to have the basic amenities of life. They're going to take it away. 15-minute cities, remember that shit. Europe's trying to get rid of all flights where you could travel to that destination in 2.5 hours via any other mechanism. Now, in America, that would keep a lot of flights still going. But in Europe, they got lots of trains. Trains everywhere. We don't have that many trains in America. I mean, we have them, but they're so few that you couldn't tell the public to use those as a differential for not getting a flight. Thank God trains go faster than cars. Otherwise, everything would be banned, right? This is something to think about. They're erasing the world right before your very eyes, and they're doing it so slowly but efficiently that we don't really have the connections yet for the average public. I suspect that as they get more hubris, built up through more successes, this is simply going to increase and increase and increase. And because no one's fighting the true global warming bullshit war, I mean, that should be this. You should mention it one day to someone in your life. Because if you don't, they're going to use that excuse to explain all the fires, all the tsunamis, all the fucking hurricanes, all the earthquakes. I mean, Jesus Christ, all the fucking side effects of the vaccine. They're trying to blame on global warming now. They're trying to blame global warming on immigrants. I mean, it's pure fucking insanity out there, and you know it. So we've got to get busy with the word of mouth. That's why I repeat shit. And it seems like I'm an Alzheimer's. I'm not. I'm very specifically, every episode, I'm sneaking the repeats in so that you can go, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. And then by the time I hit you 4 or 5 times, again, do your own research. It's very simple. The stuff I give you is so simple to validate with absolute geniuses, right? You shouldn't have any problem feeling confident in what you're saying. It's a big difference in bullshitting somebody or telling them the truth. You want to raise at work? You got to figure out a way to tell your boss that you need that money and make it make sense and have confidence in your voice. Not just, I need that money because I'm that good. That's a little harder. That's why you become an entrepreneur. But you got to be able to say, look, I don't drive a Ferrari, right? I don't live in some beach house worth $8 million. I'm not being wasteful with my money, but I could barely make my mortgage. And it's a totally normal house for the size of my family, right? You want me to drive 30 minutes one way to where you have your company because you won't get on board with fucking remote engineers or something, whatever the fuck it is, something you can do that could be completely remote. You got to kick ass to take names of what you do so they love the value of what you're bringing to the company, and then you should be able to ask for more money. That's the trick of getting almost everything in life. Why do you think con men do so well in this world? Confidence men, right? They win a confidence game on you. They make you feel confident about their capabilities. It's all lies. And they get your shit, and they run off with it. Anyway, if you haven't been to deepthoughtsradio.com, there's a whole ton of this shit over there. Now we're approaching 770 videos at this point. To all the new subscribers, thank you so much for joining us. There's a whole bunch of content back there to partake of. Remember, there's a top picks category on the website. I get you off to, most of the time we use Rumble for all the videos. Since Rumble takes a little while to move videos from YouTube to Rumble, it's an automated process. The first videos are always YouTube. And that kind of gives me an idea who's still active out there. So it's cool. But again, if we can get it through YouTube, that's great. This will not go through YouTube because it has too many buzzwords. It's going through Rumble, Odyssey, and BitChute, and Brighteon. The chaos reports are getting way more views than all the other videos on those alternate sites, and I'm not even sure why. I don't know anybody at those other organizations to promote my stuff. It just gets a lot of views. But there's a podcast, too, that you can get an audio. The app I use on my telephone, which is an Android, is Podcast Addict. Fantastic app. I just literally go right to the deepthoughtsradio.com feed. There's an RSS feed on there. You just go to Podcast Addict, link to that link, and you don't have Apple in between you. You don't have Google, Amazon, which are the other platforms we're on. Again, we're 4.7 on iTunes, which is phenomenal given how liberal that platform typically is. So anyway, get out there and get you some. There's a store up there with some shirts and stuff that I've done myself, and some of them really clever. Some are just sort of Deep Thoughts Radio kind of shirts. More to come on that. To the Patreon and PayPal folks, thank you so much. You make it happen. Take care of yourself and someone else, and I'll see you on the next Deep Thoughts. Over now.